Welcome to Teeth Talk with Dr. Charles Ashley Mann on WPTF News Talk Traffic. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. I am Jason Kong, and I'm here with Dr. Charles Ashley Mann. He's head of Charles Ashley Mann Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. We have a great show lined up for you today. It's one of our favorite shows to do. Today, we're going to be answering questions from the listeners. If you ever have a question that you want to email to Dr. Mann and you'd like to have it discussed here on the show, you can email Dr. Mann, drmann@smileman.com. Mann has two N's at the end in both cases, drmann@smileman.com. Dr. Mann, you ready to open up the email bag here and get to some questions?
I am ready.
Excellent. Excellent. Here we go. First one comes from George here in Raleigh. George says, Dr. Mann, I am a smoker, and at my recent dental visit, I was informed that I have periodontal disease. My gums do not bleed, and I brush and floss regularly. Do I really have this disease?
Well, it's really hard for me to tell without, you know, looking. But I will tell you this, smokers have a 10 times greater to get periodontal disease than someone who doesn't smoke. So they're already at a higher risk. One of the things that we see with all smokers across the board is they do not bleed like a non-smoker who has periodontal disease. And the reason for that is smokers, when they smoke, the capillaries, which are the small blood vessels that are in the gum and skin and on the outskirts, what we call of the periphery of our body, they withdraw, okay, from when people smoke. Now, think about this. If you withdraw the capillaries, then you're not going to get bleeding. You're not going to get the inflammatory cells that cause the bleeding to the area where you have the disease. And one of the reasons why they're at an increased risk for periodontal diseases, they cannot get their immune system through those capillaries up to the area where that bacteria that's causing the periodontal disease is. So that's why they're at a tenfold increase of periodontal disease. Their body cannot fight it. Now, this gentleman in question, he probably, if he's a longtime smoker, doesn't have any bleeding at all. I've seen it where patients come in and they have bone loss with no bleeding. So The key that you have to look for is on those x-rays, how much bone loss is occurring and what are the pocket depths. We've talked about the measurements of the pockets. If those pocket depths are 4 or greater and you have bone loss, then that's a sign that you have active periodontal disease, even if you don't have bleeding. So I would suggest to this gentleman, that he probably, if he is a smoker, has a great chance of having periodontal disease. People who smoke, even after they're treated with periodontal disease, it is an ongoing battle. We recommend to all of our patients who smoke that have periodontal disease, you must visit the dentist at least every 3 months to keep your gums healthy. Now, of course, the best thing to do would be to try to stop smoking. And a lot of people say, oh, well, I'm going to stop smoking. I'm moving to the vape. Well, the studies are showing that the vape also creates the same effect. The nicotine and the substances in the vapes also can have some problems as far as bleeding and creating increased risk for periodontal disease. So the best thing to do is to quit, but I know it's very hard. Nicotine is a very addictive substance. And so those people will have to be more diligent about their oral health at home and visiting for recare appointments more often, once every 3 months. That's 2 extra visits per year to keep them from getting periodontal disease.
It's something that you want to avoid on the front end, but on the back end, there's more work involved. But that's something that it again points to why it's so important to make sure that you're getting these regular checkups, because as is this case with George, it's not something that we can identify on our own. Usually we need a professional eye to be able to identify it.
That's right. Not just periodontal disease. You know, if you're a smoker, you have to worry about an increased risk for decay because it dries your mouth out. You also have to worry about an increased risk for oral cancer. So there's quite a few things other than just periodontal disease. I always like to, when I coach my patients about quitting the smoking, I try to get the financial aspect of it. If you take the cost of a pack of cigarettes and you multiply it you know, by how many you smoke in a given day or week. And then you take the financial aspects of, hey, I'm having to have, you know, two extra cleanings than I normally do that I'm gonna have to pay out of pocket. And then this treatment for periodontal disease, the increased risk for decay. You start taking the financial impact, not counting the systemic disease aspect of it throughout your body. It's a big financial toll on a habit that can you can stop, you know, with help. There's medications, there's ways that you can stop if you want to.
Yeah, that's good to know and something we need to take into consideration. Dr. Mann, let's get to our next email question here. This one comes from Margaret and Carrie. Margaret says, Dr. Mann, I have chronic bad breath and it is affecting my social life. How do I fix it? That's a good question because that's something that can be concerning to a lot of people.
Yes, and then, you know, the thing about chronic bad breath is it like she brought up, it can be a very social debilitating aspect of oral health. And you know, there's two types. There's acute and chronic. The acute is when we wake up in the fraternity house and we didn't brush our teeth and we've gone days without, you know, taking care of ourselves. And then there's the chronic, which means, you know, you can have it consistently no matter how many times you brush your teeth. Usually that's a sign of two things. One, you have to rule out periodontal disease first. If you have periodontal disease, it will create a chronic halitosis is the name for bad breath. It'll create a chronic halitosis. And that will stay in place until that periodontal treatment, until it's treated and we get that under control. That's probably the number one cause that we see. The other few causes, but one of the majors is you can have bad breath if you have what we call post-nasal drip. Post-nasal drip is when you get a chronic drip in the back of your throat from your nose. It's usually mucus. Well, that mucus can form and create an environment for bacteria that creates halitosis. Usually it's a sulfuric type bacteria. But one of the things that you can do with that is check and make sure you're not having any kind of allergies. We use a lot of something called X-Clear. And it's you can get it online. It's a very good product. It's all natural. It has xylitol. It also has grapefruit seed oil extract, and it has saline. And it's a great way if you have allergies or you're trying to get rid of that post-nasal drip to use once a night before you go to bed. And that really helps. Xylitol kills the bacteria up in your sinuses and helps stop any kind of and the grapefruit seed oil extract, it'll actually coat the sinus. All of those combined with the saline help stop that chronic drip. Now, if you do have a chronic drip, mostly what happens is you get the bacteria that builds up on the back of your tongue. So a lot of people who have chronic bad breath, they brush their teeth, they floss. One of the major things is scraping the tongue. There's a lot of tongue scrapers that you can get and scrape the back of the tongue because that bacteria can build up on there. The other thing is use a rinse. You know, there are certain rinses out there that are better than others. We like Closis. It's a chlorine dioxide rinse that is very good against that sulfuric bacteria that I mentioned earlier. There's also several other ones out there like TheraBreath. But I always tell people try to steer away from the alcohol-based mouth rinses. And the reason for that is it can dry your mouth out and cause halitosis if dry mouth is what's causing it. So the third one is you could have a systemic problem. People with diabetes can also have chronic bad breath. So you could check with your physician if the two things that we talked about earlier are not the culprit.
That's good advice. We're answering your emails here today on Teeth Talk. Send in your emails to drman@smileman.com. Man has two N's at the end. We've got more of your questions to get to right after this. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Teeth Talk with Dr. Charles Ashley Mann on WPTF News Talk Traffic. Welcome back to Teeth Talk with Dr. Charles Ashley Mann. You can learn more about Dr. Mann by going to smileman.com. drmann.com, smileman.com. That's Dr. Mann's website. It's very easy to use. You can go online, book an appointment if you would like to do that. You can find information about Dr. Mann's three office locations. There's one in Cary, one in Garner, and one in Fuquay Varina. Learn more at smileman.com, or you can call 919-462-9338. 919-462-9338. I am Jason Kong here with Dr. Charles Ashley Mann, and we're taking your questions today. We're answering our email bag. You can send your emails to drmann@smileman.com. Don't forget, man has two N's at the end, and we've answered a few questions already. Let's get to the next one here. This one comes from Greg in Cary. Dr. Mann, Greg says, I have been struggling with periodontal disease for over 10 years now. My current dentist cannot get my gums healthy and has referred me to a specialist. Can you give me any advice to help treat my periodontal disease?
Well, you know, periodontal disease comes in many forms. You know, the ultimate result of having periodontal disease is, you know, you lose the bone around your teeth, and then your teeth get loose and you have to have them extracted. You get infections around the teeth. Again, it also affects us systemically, which we've talked about many times on the show last week. But, you know, we talked about smoking earlier, but there are, like I said, it comes in different, I like to say packages. And the reason for that is, there are certain type of bacteria in our mouth that create periodontal disease. And there's about 12. You can have one of them, you can have two of them, or you could have all of them. Okay. The key, and this is why we do this in our office, the key to finding out which, what we're dealing with is doing what we call a bacterial culture. We do a bacterial culture on all of our perio patients, and we find out what bacteria we're dealing with, because there are three categories of bacteria: high risk, moderate risk, and low risk bacteria that cause the periodontal disease. And the three high risk are the ones that we really want to focus on, okay? Because that's what's going to get you the highest incidence of recurring periodontal disease, like this gentleman has talked about. If you don't treat it the right way, the periodontal disease will not completely go away and really quickly come back. And so we take an approach of, hey, we're going to go up into the area where the person around their teeth and clean that area and put antimicrobials in that area to kill that bacteria, but realize that that bacteria is also in the bloodstream. So when we take our bacterial culture and we send it off to a place called oral DNA, they will tell us exactly what bacteria we're dealing with, but they also tell us what antibiotic we should be using to kill that bacteria systemically, which is in the bloodstream. And that's why this individual is probably getting a recurring, if he's not a smoker, bacterial infection in his gums. It hasn't been treated systemically. You have to treat it systemically with an antibiotic, or it quickly comes back. Even if you're the best home care, you really have to get those high risk ones down to a level where your immune system can fight them off. If you don't do that, then like I said, it'll quickly come back and create those pocketing and bleeding that we see with periodontal disease.
Yeah, it's not a fun disease, and it's something that will, you know, rear its ugly head if you're not keeping up with the maintenance and making sure that you're attacking it. And it's hard, Dr. Mann. I can sort of feel with Greg here, because it's got to be frustrating.
Yeah, it's an ongoing battle. You know, you never. It's the number one disease in America. And we talked about this on the show before, and I like to reiterate that. Heart disease, number two. Cancer is a close third. It's the number one disease in America, okay? And it can kill you. I tell people, it's the reason why we have heart disease. It can cause cancer. It can cause Alzheimer's. It can cause diabetes. There's a reason why it's the number one disease, and really, people really need to take it seriously. If you're not getting your teeth cleaned on a regular basis by a dentist, then you probably have periodontal disease. There's a great risk when over 50% of the population have periodontal disease.
Yeah, got to make sure that you're getting those regular checkups. Let's get to our next email here, Dr. Mann. This one comes from James. James is in Fuquay, Varina. James says, Dr. Mann, I have had veneers for 20 years, and I am noticing a change in color around the gum line. I thought porcelain veneers do not stain or change colors. That's an interesting question.
It is. James, you're correct. Porcelain does not change colors permanently. You can get some surface stains on the porcelain, but it's easily polished when you go in and to your hygienist and get your teeth polished. But we do see what we call recession around veneers. And recession basically is when your gums recede up on the top or down on the bottom. Okay. When we prep for veneers, we prep the margin of that porcelain or where that porcelain ends slightly below the gum line so that that veneer, when we put it into place, slightly goes down below the gum line. Okay. When your gums recede, it exposes a part of your tooth that is not the same color. So if you're seeing like a yellowish color, then that would be a sign that you are getting that recession. Now, recession usually comes from two things, either scrubbing really hard with a toothbrush, or you're clenching and grinding quite a bit. If you're clenching and grinding, you'll get that recession and see that yellow color. You'll also get ditching if you're scrubbing your teeth too hard. And what I mean by that is you'll start scrubbing the part below that veneer away. And because it's softer than the porcelain, and you'll see what we call, I call it ditching. It's almost like a crevice. If you start, you know, brushing that away, you can also get a darker stain from foods. And you can also get a darker stain from, you know, teas and coffees. Anything that would stain your teeth, natural teeth, can stain around that margin. One of the things I'd recommend first is if your veneers look good, they're in good shape, try whitening your teeth. You can actually brighten up around where you have that recession and kind of get it to blend in to the porcelain veneers. One of the things about porcelain veneers that I tell people, if you do get porcelain veneers, do not get them all the same shade from what we call the incisal edge all the way up to the gum line. All veneers should be three shades. They should be a shade down at the incisal edge. Then the majority of it should be the shade that you want, the color. And then a shade slightly a little bit darker around the gum line. And the reason for that is if you do get that recession, it'll help blend it in a lot better. If you get one solid, say, white shade all the way up, it's going to be a lot more noticeable, especially if you have a high smile line. So if you are in the market for veneers, you want to go to, you know, first of all, you want to go to someone that's familiar with cosmetic dentistry, but you do want something that's tiered, what I call tiered, so that it's three shades, and that shade gets a little bit, you know, darker and matches what your tooth would look like if you got that recession.
That's good advice. And if you want to schedule an appointment to see Dr. Mann and get a consultation for him, or maybe you just need a general checkup, go to smileman.com. That's Dr. Mann's website, smileman.com. Mann has two N's at the end. There you can, as I said, book an appointment or find information about all the services that Dr. Mann and his team provide. You can also find information about his three office locations. There's one in Cary, one in Garner, and one in Fuquay, Varina. SmileMann.com is the place to go, or call 919-462-9338. 919-462-9338. We're taking a quick break, but we'll be back with more of your emails right after this. You're listening to Teeth Talk with Dr. Charles Ashley Mann on WPTF News Talk Traffic. This is Teeth Talk with Dr. Charles Ashley Mann. Learn more about Dr. Mann by going to smileman.com. Mann has two N's at the end, smileman.com. I'm Jason Kong here with Dr. Charles Ashley Mann, and today we're answering your email questions. We love doing these as our email inbox piles up from time to time with questions from the listeners, and you know, we'd love to help you out. So if you want to send in a question, feel free to do so. Dr. Mann at smileman.com. Dr. Mann at smileman.com. And don't forget, man has two N's at the end in each instance. All right, let's get back to it here. Dr. Mann, this question comes from Carol. Carol is in Garner. Carol says, Dr. Mann, what is the best toothbrush to use to achieve the best plaque removal?
Wow, we got so many out there now, don't we, Jason?
We really do.
Yeah, Quip, we got, you know, Oral-B, we've got Sonicare, we've got Colgate. I always tell people your best toothbrush to use is an electric toothbrush, of course. You just can't do the same thing an electric toothbrush when you manually brush your teeth as far as the action that you're getting to remove plaque. So, but of those, you want a sonic action of the electric toothbrushes. Oral-B has one that turns and twists, but it doesn't have a sonic action. The good thing about a sonic action toothbrush, Sonicare is a great example, is even if the bristles do not touch your teeth, the sonic motion will remove plaque. And really, to be honest with you, if you press down too hard with a sonic, and this is in the directions, if you press down too hard with a Sonicare or sonic brush, it does not brush your teeth as effectively as if you lightly touch your teeth. And that's why we recommend it for people who have a lot of recession, gum recession that we talked about, or that they're hard scrubbers. You're going to scrub that that root away and create that ditching that we talked about earlier. With the Sonicare, you don't do that, or sonic toothbrushes. There's different ones out there. But you just lightly walk around and it removes the plaque. The other thing is it actually takes your saliva and it'll actually get between your teeth a lot better. Studies show that sonic toothbrushes actually get more plaque between your teeth. Well, you know, there's a lot of people out there that don't like to floss. They don't want to use a water pick. At least if you don't want to do those things, invest in a sonic toothbrush because it will get that plaque between your teeth better. But that's one that my hygienist and myself highly recommend. If you are, you know, stuck on a manual toothbrush, make sure you get a soft bristle one. Again, most people that are stuck on a manual toothbrush are scrubbers. They have to have that scrub into action to make their teeth feel like they're clean. But if you get that soft, super soft brush, you won't necessarily brush away that tooth structure that we talked about at the gum line. So that's my advice. Again, you know, it is a tough decision with everything out there. Remember, though, you want to change your head on your electric toothbrush, or you want to change your manual toothbrush once every 3 months so that they stay effective in removing plaque. And also, they have bacteria. So you want to basically throw those away so that they're effective and they're not causing any major issues.
That's great advice. I don't think a lot of people think about the bacteria portion of that, you know, that's where the regular maintenance comes in as well.
Yeah. And they do have some things you can buy online, that are toothbrush cleaners. You can put them in the, UV lights that kill the bacteria, the heads from your electric or manual. And so you can do that and maybe get a few more months out of it. But the key is if the bristles start flattening out, you're not getting the cleaning mechanisms that you need. And of course, you know, bristles do fall out of the toothbrush too. So you're not getting quite as many in there removing that plaque.
Yep, that's very true. Something we need to keep in mind. Well, don't forget, if you want to schedule an appointment to see Dr. Mann, head on over to smileman.com. Smileman.com, that's Dr. Mann's website. Man has two N's at the end. You can find plenty of information there about booking an appointment, about all the services that Dr. Mann and his team provide. And you can find information about his office locations. There's three of them. There's one in Fuquay Varina, one in Garner, and one in Cary. Learn more at smileman.com. You can also email Dr. Mann if you want to have your question read the next time we open up our program here to the email inbox. DrMann@SmileMann.com. DrMann@SmileMann.com. Dr. Mann, what do we have on tap for next week?
Well, it's a last week of Oral Health Month. This is Oral Health Month. We haven't talked about cavities, so we're going to talk about the way to prevent cavities. And if you do get a cavity, the options you have of treatment.
That will be a good show to sort of ease us into Halloween. You know, that'll scare us a little
Halloween
bit.
Halloween and after the state fair, right?
Oh, yeah. Good point. Very good point. Well, that will do it for us today. We are out of time. On behalf of Dr. Charles Ashley Mann, I'm Jason Kong. Thank you so much for listening to Teeth Talk with Dr. Charles Ashley Mann on WPTF News Talk Traffic. Have a wonderful day.